So right before the pod started, I came across this article from, apparently there's an infamous gossip blogger that is claiming that Greta Thunberg, the like climate activist girl, is writing letters to the Unabomber, and that she is allegedly that she is a fan of Ted Kaczynski's writing.
Does this gossip blogger have any other, you know, hits, like things he predicted that were actually true, or what are we talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, how much of an outside shot is this?
It's this blog called Crazy Days and Nights, which I mean, I don't read Hollywood gossip blogs, but it's, we talked about blind items a little while ago. This blog just posts Hollywood blind items constantly, so just a rumor mill for Hollywood.
A lot of those were true, right? Like, I mean, there were blind items about like Harvey Weinstein and God, who else? Kevin Spacey, I think, was a blind item for a long time. Yeah. When people like were afraid of saying anything publicly. So
I'm gonna click on their most recent other blind item.
Yeah, I mean, this has only been shared on the Daily Dot and Flipboard, as far as I can tell, besides the original post. But I hope it's true. It'd be pretty funny.
Okay, I mean, this blog is loading so many ads and stuff. It's like literally slowing down my browser. So I'm gonna close it.
Oh God, what is that? It looks like it's made in WordPress or something.
So like, who knows if this is real?
No, it's probably not. I mean, there have been a ton of conspiracies about Greta Thunberg going around. My favorite one recently was the a bunch of like Indian nationalists in response to the farmers movement going on there, just burning photos of anyone who tweeted in support of the farmers. So they were like burning photos of Greta Thunberg and Rihanna and shit. And that's the same level of politics that I think this is on. But if she is actually in contact with the Unabomber, that'd be pretty tight.
That would be good.
The funny thing about this is it's not totally out of the question, right?
She
has been
not
so heavily prioritized as a figure of being co-opted, you know, and liberalizing the ecological movement and all of that. But like, her grandpa is one of the original people who fought to even bring it up as an issue. So she's one of those people where it's like questionable. Like, she could be more radical than she lets on. She could be like, you know, more likely way more cynical and liberal than
she's a child that has been elevated to the status of like an international figure by NGOs to be a poster child for the environmental movement, when what those NGOs mean as the environmental movement is climate austerity, an austere life for the poor for the sake of the environment, while the rich get to do green capitalism. And if, as a young person, if she is seeing that, like waking up to that fact and entering her edgy phase where she's seeking out stuff that actually like means shit, I don't think it's implausible that she might turn to Kaczynski's writings, which I think would be awesome. I mean, can you imagine this person? I mean, she's literally been groomed by like this extra governmental apparatus that like is doing the propaganda work of green capital.
I can only hope that somebody along the chain of Matryoshka shells of like liberal capture of radical ideology like does go rogue. It's probably not going to be Greta Thunberg, but like, she is that, right? Like, I'm looking up the stuff that she's been in the news for besides this. In the last couple of weeks, it's just been her saying like, Joe Biden is not ready to face the scientific facts on climate change. And it's like, that's such a tepid position of like critiquing Joe Biden from the left that I can't help but think that this is just supposed to be like, she's like climate Neil deGrasse Tyson, right? Like, that's what they want her to be, like climate science communicator who shows up on TV shows and tell us it's already too late and that we should recycle or whatever.
My only hope is that, as with everything gets, you know, subsumed and reproduced by capital to justify the continued exploitation of the working class. Like, if this results in her becoming like a radical eco-terrorist or something, wicked awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, like, a lot, in a lot of ways, like, I think what she's really destined to end up is like a King of the Hill antagonist, right? Like, somebody who probably is still a true believer in what they're talking about, but is just like so subsumed into a corporate and capitalist machine that they refuse to, like, her ecological analysis is good, but like, when has she ever fucking spoken out against capitalism? And if you're not speaking out against capitalism, it's like, is your ecological analysis really very good?
I mean, anybody who speaks out against fossil fuels is a King of the Hill antagonist.
Yeah.
By definition.
I think she said like very vague things where she's like, you guys are all acting as though like profits are infinite or something. Like she has the very like you said, John, a very captured liberal conception where it's like,
right.
Hey, this is bad, so stop doing it. And it's like, why do you think they'll stop doing it? They definitely won't. You have to try something else besides asking them nicely or meanly or whatever.
We just haven't been loud enough. We just haven't gotten our own, you know, Mahatma Gandhi to go on climate hunger strike until Exxon stops destroying the natural environment. It's like, that's such a, and that's, you know, growing up in like a Western, or like, I guess she grew up in a Scandinavian educational system, it's like it's easy to end up believing that kind of shit because you think about the kind of historical figures and all of the great man of history bullshit that we were taught. It's like we just need one brave soul to rally behind, and it's like that ain't ever gonna fucking work. There's economic conditions that actively prevent that. Probably thousands of brave souls, way braver than Mahatma Gandhi, have you know, who was like a terrible person, have probably tried and died. You know what I mean? Like it's already in the past.
The people that get elevated are like the people that are convenient and can be bent by capital, by power.
Or they're just in the right place at the right time. And it's like the movement became so big that you couldn't ignore it completely. And so you ended up having to cave to like some demands.
Right. Well, and then, a web of ulterior motives. And then also like a lot of times what seems like defeating a system is just acceding to a larger system that wants to meddle in the region, you know, and as Americans, like a lot of our conception of history is flattened out into linearity. It's like thing A happened and then thing B happened because of thing A, and then you won't believe what caused thing C. And it's just like that's not even a realistic way of going about, you know, analyzing what happened, because like there's a million different actors, and especially like there's a lot of fucking money moving around. So
well, that's why you see last year in the summer, it was George Floyd was like the person that everybody rallied behind after he was already dead, so he could just like be you, like they could just slap him on a coffee mug and a Funko Pop, and he could just be like, hey, we're Google and we think the Black Lives Matter. And I feel like there's fucking t-shirts with Greta Thunberg's face on them too. You know, I feel 100%. Like the people that are getting elevated in that way are either dead and can't do anything to combat the fucking co-optation of their image by capital, or they're complicit in it, or they're a child
in the case
of Greta Thunberg.
Ideally all three. Just the other day I was thinking about that. I mean, it's like a thing that's always happened in capitalism, that like the spectacle sort of like recaptures radical images, but it's weird how fast it can happen now, because you watch ads and it's like they have footage of protests when George Floyd was killed, and you know, like the all the iconography of like people marching with Black Lives Matter signs, and then it's an ad for like Exxon Mobil or like American Pepsi, Express or something. They can just immediately make it something that is like in the territory of capital, which doesn't automatically, I mean, it still is something that like the cops will beat you up for if you're doing it in real life, but it means that liberals get this very confused conception of it, because they're like, well, I saw that in an ad and it looked nice, but then why are people being so mean when they do it in real life?
Well, that's really interesting. It, like that speed up of cultural capture, it kind of reflects in some ways, I think people talk about like cultural reproduction, you know, the 25-year rule of how like fads come back in style and stuff. And everybody's like, well, it's kind of weird how that's speeding up. And it's like, yeah, it's speeding up because we're running out of shit to reproduce. So the cycles between the distinctions between shit, all of the different eras are just getting like upcycled and run together. We're speeding up the BPM of cultural production because there's no content left to jam in there. And so we're eventually just going to move into extra tone music. And that's the real question, is like, when does the absolute like cultural and social bankruptcy of the United States just like completely just like whoop, like we don't have anything left. Like the thing that happened yesterday, like the radical uprising that happened yesterday, is getting declared like a national liberal holiday the next morning. Like when are we at that point? You know,
They've already brought the 80s back twice, and it's only been like 30 years.
How many times are we going to bring the fucking 50s back? The 50s got brought back in the 70s, the 90s, the early 2000s, the late 2000s, the early and mid 2010s. Like, it's getting a little tired at this point.
I feel like at this point, when we bring back the 90s, we're bringing back like the version of the 90s we brought back in the 2010s or the 2000s.
Zoomers are already starting to get nostalgic for like the early 2010s. Like Zoomers are just doing 10 years ago. They're like, remember when Pumped Up Kicks came out? Damn. That was that's a classic song.
That came out last year.
Yeah, and imagine you're a child now. You're like, what do you even like? Remember when people were nostalgic for a 5-year-old song in 2021? That was cool.
Man, remember Baby Shark?
That just happened.
Yeah, but kids who are like 14 in, 12 years from now are going to be on TikTok 3 and like being like, you guys remember this really old song called Baby Shark? And then they have like black and white footage of Baby Shark.
The Soviet anthem over it.
Like seven of the Parkland kids are already congressmen. It's getting crazy.
God. What, because David Hogg's pillow business?
Pillow companies, yeah, yeah. speaking of cultural capture, the New York Post the other day posted yet another, I think it's a scaremongering article. Like, even on this pod, we have kind of different opinions on like how much of like this media stuff about COVID is scaremongering and how like it's, you should take precautions, but you shouldn't like let these media outlets cause you constant psychic damage, because like COVID is a very real thing, but the hysteria that the media is trying to evoke in your brain is engineered for sure.
Well, yeah, not to sound like a fucking like Gen X Pacific Northwest like crunchy idiot, but like if it's on TV, it's probably a fucking lie, or that's they're right. Conveniently telling you the truth to lie to you about something else. Like it's always just like try and look at the science and make your own best judgments and do what you can. But like people are in difficult situations right now, you know, and it's, it's fucking jobs, it's mental health, it's evictions. Like they're not enforcing the eviction moratorium. Like just, do what you have to do at this point. Like
this New York Post article is saying spring breakers could spell perfect storm for COVID-19 spread. Expert warns. I'm pretty sure we saw this exact headline a year ago.
Yeah, I remember this article. Yeah, yeah.
We're going to eventually hit herd immunity, but like they're running these articles again because they want to shift that responsibility back to the individual. Because now that it's
100%, yeah.
Now that it's, cuz during Trump it was like, oh, the government has failed, the Republicans, Trump, he's causing everybody to die. And now that it's Biden doing the exact same thing, like Biden has changed almost nothing whatsoever about the U.S. government's response to COVID. Now these articles are coming out to try and put the idea into the general public's head that no, if COVID spikes again, it's your fault. It's your fault as an individual for your individual choices. You didn't do enough, and it's not the government's fault, even though they have done absolutely fucking nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I don't think you should go on spring break, but like it's not your fucking responsibility.
Don't this go is to a like tiki the, bar. Don't like well, drink, right. drink whiskey out fun. Of the belly button of a stripper that you don't know. But like, do leisure, enjoy yourself. Do it safely. Don't like, don't let these media outlets generate hysteria in your head.
I mean, we've already seen the perfect storm too. I mean, 500,000 people have died in the US? Like the storm has happened. We're, in the rubble now. I don't know what they're trying to prevent with this.
Yeah, it's like, it's just like a storm, because it's like, how much longer is it going to keep going? We don't even know at this point, but like this shit should have been fixed already. This should there are like time scaling maps. Just look one up online, like COVID death map around the world, where you can move the slider back and forth and you can see the countries that like experienced a really big surge right at the beginning, like China, and then immediately handled their shit and like life got to go mostly back to normal for a long time. They experienced
China's doing Burning Man now.
Yeah, they experienced some hiccups here and there, but like they did really, like a targeted control, of the spread of the virus, and they get to go back to having regular lives. It's not on you to fucking throw your cans in the recycling bin on this one. Like, if you're being safe, be safe for you. Like, all of this moralizing about like social responsibility is just the ruling class telling you that they're not going to fucking help you.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of moralizing, Rudy Giuliani's daughter is doing a little moralizing of her own.
What do we got here?
Psychic damage, that's what we have.
Seriously.
Rudy Giuliani's daughter wrote this article that was going around. You might have seen people sharing this out of mostly disgust and shock. where she details the threesomes that she really enjoys being involved in. It's something about like being a unicorn is like good, actually. I'm paraphrasing, but I can't actually read the article. It'll hurt
me. We would not ask you to do that, John. It would be too painful.
But it's a lot of talking about like just finding couples and having sex with them. And it's like, you know, I don't want to hear about this. I don't want to hear about this. The fact that it's Rudy Giuliani's daughter just makes it all that much worse, because like the whole like woke, like, I'm polyamorous or whatever.
She's a unicorn. She's hitting up couples on dating sites being like, I'll be your third.
Mm-hmm. That's which
is fine to do, but it's like, why is this a Vanity Fair article?
It's not a fucking political project.
Not at all.
She knew, like, I don't know if she's like angling to get some kind of, like, become a sex columnist, become like, you know, whatever, but it's
she
like
just wants people to know who she is.
Perfect. This is the perfect fucking news story. It's like, I don't know, fucking like, Hunter Biden comes out as demisexual. It's like, it's just fucking random shit thrown together. Rudy Giuliani's daughter likes threesomes. It's like, all of this shit is just, it's intense psychic damage for no fucking reason.
Mm-hmm. And they're just like throwing a dart at the wall. And yes. They're like, what should I hit? Should I hit bisexual, threesomes, demisexual?
Admit what we do in the skull and bone ceremony. Oh, no. Hold on. Take that off the board.
That one's really tiny.
Yeah. That's awesome, though.
Yeah. Speaking of psychic damage, that she's wearing a Vote Your Ossoff tank top in the article.
Oh, my God.
Is it Vote for John Ossoff? Yeah, that's the thing. She's a lib. She's like a Hillary-loving lib. Type freak.
Because
like,
why wouldn't she be? Wouldn't she be? There is no real barrier between the fucking Democrats and the Republicans. There's
she's rich. She's a rich girl.
Being rich and then somewhat like woke and, you know, having queer friends, and you're like, I guess I'm not conservative because I think gay people are cool, so I'm a liberal. All right, cool.
Yeah. She's literally the song Rich Girl by Hall & Oates.
Yeah, I don't get along with my horrible conservative liberal dad, so I'm going to support other people's horrible conservative liberal dads that have a donkey instead of an elephant as their mascot. Like,
yeah. They have better fake teeth than my dad does, and that's the only difference.
Giuliani's mouth do be looking like a real nightmare landscape, though. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of a nightmare landscape, nightmare for the police, according to a website called the Pigeon Express, a man that was wanted by the police was seen taunting them on a Facebook post. What's going on, Bedfordshire police?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the screen cap of this is all there is to it. But I just like to, when I see a criminal who has like really big balls, I like to highlight it on this show, because the Bedfordshire police posted on the 23rd of February, we are appealing for help in locating a wanted man, Jordan Carr, 20, of blah, 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 giving a bunch of information out of him. And this post only got 601 reacts, and the top comment on it is Jordan Carr himself just saying, catch me if you can, with 5.4k
he ratioed
reacts.
The police. This man ratioed the police.
Poster on Facebook. They were on the police's home turf of Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook is like 60% boomer retired cops already, and he still got ratioed.
If you're able to ratio the police on their own Facebook post, you should walk free.
Yeah, honestly, and this is the best part, is like, if you want to taunt the police about a crime that you did, you don't even have to be like a serial killer carving like little words out of newspapers and like gluing them onto a sheet of paper to mail to them. You can literally just get a VPN and log in from anywhere. When they try, like, where did he comment this from? It's like, oh, it doesn't seem like he should be in South Korea.
That's
yeah.
not right.
Hell yeah.
They just travel to like some foreign country on a wild goose chase to find him.
Speaking of a new way that they're going to be able to track you after you get your Bill Gates microchip vaccine implant, whatever. In the New Scientist, I saw this article, which I just thought was absolutely insane. They're going to make us wear sensors so we don't get run over by driverless cars. That, or, you know, that's being proposed by obviously people who develop driverless cars. It's now like cyberpunk jaywalking.
Right? Man, I hate cars more than ever now. Like, they already did this to us once. They were like, hey, we're going to eminent domain all the fucking land, mostly black and poor neighborhoods. And we're going to turn it into places for you to drive around because we don't give you any transportation infrastructure besides roads. And now they're just like, hey, pedestrians, you're kind of fucking this shit up for this emergent industry that we want to speculate on and move a bunch of VC capital around on. Why don't you all wear ankle monitors that you have to remind each other to put on before you leave the house instead of us giving you buses and trains?
Forgetting to wear my sensor as I walk to work and just getting absolutely fucking flattened by a bus, an Elon Musk bang bus.
Oh my god, little old ladies on street corners being like, Sonny, would you walk next to me? I forgot my ankle monitor.
It's like, if your fucking car can't tell the difference between a pedestrian and just a clear path, like, regardless of a fucking tracker, like, fuck you.
The fucking meme that goes around is from, like, I think it's an article that's at least a few years old by now, but it was like a photo of a car pulling up to an intersection, and there's like a small child and an elderly person crossing the intersection, and it just says, who should the self-driving car hit? And I'm just like,
nobody.
The self-driving car shouldn't be in this fucking situation. You know what I mean?
It should hit the floor of a canyon after driving off a cliff, perhaps.
Right. Yeah.
On fire.
Well, then people like to hit you with what they think is the big brain shit. They're like, well, you know, some people shouldn't be driving cars either. When are we going to address that? Isn't the computer on aggregate, you know, on average, better than the people driving? And I'm like, you know, I think you'll find quite quickly that it is not. Have you ever used a technology that was in beta or in alpha? Have you ever gotten the like pre-release version of something? It's dog shit. It fucking breaks on the
I can't even get my fucking modem to work.
My fucking Wi-Fi doesn't even go more than
24 hours without cutting out. I don't fucking trust computers to drive a car.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'd be shocked if they even give you an ankle monitor and don't just like make you install an app on your phone that drains the battery to like tell cars that you're around.
Just fucking like a car that doesn't drive towards any Bluetooth signals, just like
spinning around in place.
You want to go to the other side of town, it takes like 22 hours. Like,
imagine if you're like walking down a crosswalk and you're trying to log into something and it's like, are you a robot? Click here. And then it's like, click anything that has a pedestrian. And you're like, wait, that's me right now. And then you realize you're like helping a car in the moment.
Wait, is that what those captures are? Is it like a long-term project to like have machine learning figure out what crosswalks are and what a bus is and what a boat
basically
is?
They're making you do the work.
Jesus.
Doing mystical numerology on captchas to figure out what the emergent AI god is telling us.
Yeah. It's terrible.
I found the basilisk. It's in these photos of streetlights.
Click all squares with a basilisk in them.
I think we should all go on captcha strike. I think we should all go out of our way to give inaccurate results to Google captchas so they don't learn as good.
I think that used to be a thing people on 4chan would do when captchas were mostly like books where you were just like, write this word and it would be like a sort of fucked up looking word. Someone realized you could like, only one of them had to be correct because the other one they were trying to like get a consensus on. So they would just write like complete nonsense and it would like go through.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, because that was like one of the early internet things was that like the captchas were supposed to help digitize books, right?
And they were just like learning to recognize text. Yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to do too many variables at once with that, probably. I don't think you're going to get reliable results on either end of the process at that point. Like,
if you're just asking a whole room full of monkeys, like, hey, type out what word you see, and then it's like, oh, 50 of them said Quixel. I guess it's Quixel.
Yeah,
it's not going to work.
No, I think it's going to be like, now you have to do a CAPTCHA you're a worker at an Amazon warehouse, and before you're allowed to vote on yes or no that you want a union, you have to do a CAPTCHA. But instead of just being a CAPTCHA where you like click on everything that looks like a crosswalk, the CAPTCHA is you have to write like a 3-sentence paragraph about why unions are bad. And if you can't write that CAPTCHA, you can't vote in the union election.
Yeah. Hello, Amazon worker. In order to use this proprietary toilet, we need you to sing a short ditty about how much you love your job.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck. Drink a verification can.
Yeah, literally. Speaking of drinking a verification can of whoop ass, the U.S. is building a missile network along an island chain in a very clear provocation of China.
Yeah. And, you know, in a provocation of Vietnam and a provocation of anybody who might think about doing a communist revolution in India, the United States really wants to dominate the Pacific theater, my friends.
John, this might be your shit. Do you follow any of the Vietnamese People's Army Twitters?
No, I don't.
Okay. It's so you got, okay, I'll
send
you.
Is it good
you,
shit?
I'll send you a link out. So, the Vietnamese People's Army is fucking awesome. Because they have like a very eclectic mix of like vintage hardware and everything for, you know, going back decades, but they really have their shit together. So they're able to maintain like old tech, and stuff. It's really cool. It's cool shit. I'll send you a link.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Like everything that the more I learn about Vietnam and the way that their country is run, it seems like the most high functioning country in the world, honestly. Like just Vietnam doing the most with what they got. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many people died of COVID there? Like 90, 200 or something?
Yeah, so incredibly few. For a long time, minor. It was none, you know?
A statistically insignificant number. Not that those individual humans aren't significant as individual humans, but the number of people compared to the United States.
I mean, under 100, they literally kept it down to a number where those people still can be significant as individual deaths and that's not just as a statistic. Like, that's fucking amazing.
It's incredible.
That's humanitarianism.
But like, this is saber-rattling, this missile system, right?
Yes, this is saber-rattling, and this is the United States basically saying, like, look, we have a incredibly stable genius in the White House right now. We have Blue Cheeto Man. We have, you know, White Cheddar Popcorn Blue Man Cheeto or whatever Man. He wants to be.
Blue Fun Dip guy or something.
He's one of those blue Takis. Blue Fun Dip
guy. We don't mind eating Fun Dip and just like
we've got a sugar, blue Fun Dip.
He's just sticking his finger in. He doesn't know how to use the stick.
Sliding on the side of his face. Just like expel. Like I taste copper. Is this copper Fun Dip? And he's just like,
no, Joe. That's your heart medicine. You got to finish eating that first before you have your candy.
This is what this is they're just like, we have competent liberals in. We have politicians who know how to work with the defense companies and the contractors and know how to make the Joint Chiefs of Staff happy and not fuck with what the CIA wants to do and what the FBI wants to do. And that means that we are going to step up confrontation with a bunch of Asian nations, but especially most notably China, and really all under the guise of being scared of North Korea, right? Like it's all it's all about North Korea, who, you know,
it's North Korea and China.
Yeah, and China, right? You know, they're so scary. Like, everything North Korea has ever done to step up their arsenal hasn't been a direct response to Western antagonism, primarily from the United States. But it's just So, the island chain consists of a group of islands, including Taiwan, Okinawa, and the Philippines, all, you know, very friendly to the United States, Japan, Taiwan, and the Philippines, which China sees as the first line of defense. Beijing has this anti-access/area denial strategy that's trying to, like, it's like zone defense. They're trying to gradually get the United States further and further away from them in the Pacific region and establish military dominance in the waters immediately around their country, which is, you know, as far as states doing things go, I think defending the waters immediately around the land border of your country is pretty reasonable. And the United States is just like finds this totally unacceptable. And this is why, you know, this is when we said in many ways, Joe Biden will be worse than Trump, even if he might be better in some others. This is what we were talking about. Like this kind of like well-oiled liberal bureaucratic militarism, this shit, I have to read about that. This in asia.nikkei.com, which is a well-respected site, but not one that has any fucking traction in the English-speaking world for the most part. You know what I'm talking about? God.
Right, because currently, you know, the English reporters are asking the White House about Joe Biden's cat. What kind of cat he's going to get.
Yep. So basically, yeah, this whole establishment of a bunch of, you know, military infrastructure in the Pacific region is just a bald-faced provocation of China. I mean, the admiral basically even said it himself. He's like, we are afraid that China will be more in charge of their own region of the world than we will be. And it's also a doubling down on militaristic fascism in the region because they're, you know, Taiwan, Japan, and the Philippines, three of the most fascist countries in the world, are all getting a bunch of American investment on top of all of this. So I've said many times on this show that, like, the United States, especially under the Biden presidency, is going to be angling to develop a new set of world lines of us versus them, a new Cold War, a new whatever you may have. And just know the Philippines, Taiwan, and Japan are definitely all going to be on board with the United States the entire time. And, you know, China, North Korea, Iran, Venezuela, you know, whoever else we have a beef with are going to be on the other side.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how little they're actually even, like, the U.S. sometimes will sort of frame things in, like, terms of self-defense. They're like, North Korea is crazy, so we need to defend ourselves from them. But yeah, like you said, John, they were just like, well, they might change the status quo if we don't have missiles pointed at them, and we wouldn't want that. Or they might go against U.S. interests. Like, they basically are just baldly telling you, like, we have missiles, so they do what we want, and we don't want them to do anything that they want, because that's bad.
Right.
Well, speaking of somebody who's in charge of the missiles.
Speaking of someone who was a very bad boy.
Somebody who is in charge of the missiles but can't fucking control his own dog. Joe Biden's dog. I guess, I don't know if you, listeners, you've probably seen the pictures. They're cop dogs. They're German shepherds. And it's like,
named it Major, too.
Yeah, they're cop dogs. And it's unclear. So one of the dogs in the White House bit one of the Secret Service guys.
They won't say who. I wonder if they paid him like $20,000 for a non-disclosure. Like, patch up your hand. This never happened.
Apparently, it didn't break the skin, but it's like it is. I mean, I want to know what race the guy that got bitten was. Like, these dogs have got to be racist. Like, they're Joe Biden's dogs are the dogs from like the pictures of the civil rights movement where there's dogs like attacking black protesters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a rescue dog too. So it's like, you know, who knows what it was doing for the like first year of its life or whatever before it got rescued. Probably got rescued from a racist person. Little did they know they were sending it to an even more racist person than the president.
No. Joe Biden rescued it from somebody who wasn't racist and made sure that the dog grew up to be racist.
So this is one of the two Biden dogs. So Biden really, he doubled down on his campaign promise to bring not just a dog to the White House, but a backup dog to the White House in case one of my racist dogs bites somebody.
it's getting sent back. They're sending the dog away, isn't it? Right?
Well, yeah, both
and
dogs.
And now they just have... They're sending both dogs? What?
Well, so what they said, they had a dog already called, Master or something.
Champ,
it's not that.
Yeah.
Champ, yeah, there you go. Who was like 13, and Joe Biden claims that he went to the vet and was like, now, Chief, how do we get Champ active again? And he was like, get him a young dog to be friends with. So they got this dog who's 3, so they're supposed to be buddies. So they were like, well, if they're friends, we should send them both back together to live at their house and not have one be lonely.
God damn it.
Damn.
No more dogs
in the White
House. They're humanizing. This is all fake. It's all fake.
No, robots. That's the problem. That's the problem.
They're Boston Dynamics fake. Big dogs.
The dog friendship is real, but the dogs are political pawns. That's the problem. It's like the admiration, like I feel for these dogs the same way I feel for Britney Spears.
The Major, you know, Major and Champ are the dogs' slave names. Don't call them that, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like very far down the list of like shitty things that Joe Biden has done, but like getting a rescue dog who like, you know, probably has been through trauma and like needs a nice like chill environment and then bringing it to the White House and there's just like tons of loud people all the time. I know like basically everything else he does all day every day is worse, but like it's still kind of whack to like in a clear like political scheme of like Trump didn't have a dog, so by having one, I'll look so cool and like a grandpa. Right.
Why
and
is
then
it
bringing
a,
one in yeah. and like yeah,
why is it never like an unconventional wolves? Pet? Why is it never like, oh, the presidential lionfish or like
they used to do
the
that
presidential
shit.
Ant colony.
I mean, back during like the Roosevelt era, I think he and like was it Taft or something, like a bunch of presidents and first family members have had some wild shit. Like fucking, I think there were like bears and exotic birds and alligators and weird lizards and shit. But that shit all died out in the middle of the century.
I think that that was a holdover from like the aristocracies of post-Enlightenment Europe, where like if you had enough money, you would just have a fucking like arboretum full of the rarest species on the planet.
Mm-hmm. I wish Ronald Reagan had brought that chimp that almost choked him to death to the White House as his pet. That would have been cool.
Can we get that footage of the chimp tearing Ronald Reagan's face off?
Can I get that in 8K, please? Zoomed in on his face.
Ronald Reagan having sex with a chimpanzee. It really happened, folks. You heard it here
he
on BP Blitus.
He gets even more votes in the next election. And it turns out Republicans love chimp fuckers.
Well, speaking of a chimp fucker, John McAfee, folks, it's been a long time since we talked about him.
Oh, man, yeah. What's he been doing? Chilling in international waters.
He's been doing crypto pump and dumps, same which shit. I didn't even know you could get indicted for, but he did it so scummy that he managed to get indicted. John McAfee, dumbest rich guy of all time.
People pump and dump crypto all the time. Crypto
like what do you do with it?
Part of crypto culture at this point to do pump and dumps. How
yeah,
is
Elon
he?
Musk just like posts Doge memes and then he knows the price of Doge goes up. He's not stupid. Like that's a very clear pump and dump, but you also can't get him in trouble for it.
How are you that dumb that you're gonna do it in a way that you're gonna get caught? It's insane.
Yeah. So he already got arrested in a Barcelona airport last October because he was facing extradition to the United States on tax evasion charges. As a proud libertarian, he hasn't filed a tax return for several years, despite being, you know, incredibly wealthy. But now he's also facing charges of securities and wire fraud, alongside his bodyguard, Jimmy Watson, who allegedly helped him carry out some of his pump and dump schemes, which to me, it's like, why do you need a bodyguard to help you carry out computer crime? What is he installing your VPN and your antivirus software? Like, didn't you used to make antivirus software?
Maybe John McAfee read that thing when you go to incognito window in Chrome and it's like, it doesn't stop people looking over your shoulder. And he was like, ah, what the fuck? That can happen. And then he just hired a bodyguard just in case that happens and someone's looking over his shoulder.
The other funniest thing about this is that, you know how like a lot of times they'll take a quote from somebody in an article and they'll blow it up real big into a short little quote in the middle of the article.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They did that with John McAfee and it just says, I am not pumping for my gain.
That is, look, if
you fucked up if you're saying that, yeah. Even if you're not pumping for your gain, never say that.
I am pumping for my gain every day. Okay. I earn these gains. All right. Like whether they're crypto gains or the gym gains, you got to pump for your gain. John McAfee.
Yeah, I'm a rise and grind
fucking
pumper.
Beta know? Mindset.
Wake up in the morning. First thing I do is pump.
That's right.
Every single day.
Yeah. Pump it up. Elvis Costello. There you go.
Apparently, like, there's a lot of dispute over whether what he did was actually illegal or not, and they're just kind of tacking this on because he's already wanted for a bunch of shit. I don't normally like it when the U.S. government arrests somebody, but if they want to get John McAfee's ass, I don't think I'm going to give a single shit at all.
On the other hand, though, you know, prison abolition begins with John McAfee.
Prison abolition, I'm pretty sure, begins with taking your money to a boat in the middle of the ocean and not paying taxes to anybody for years. So, yeah, John McAfee.
That's the thing. It's like there's all this incel discourse on Twitter right now. And it's I find it really interesting because it's like, how shitty does somebody have to be for you to think that they don't deserve human rights? It's like John McAfee. No, prison abolition doesn't begin with him. But it's an interesting point because I think that there's libs out there who they've bought into this kind of like woke bootstrap mindset that there's a certain line that you can cross if you're like not woke enough, if you're not you know, a certain identity group, then you don't deserve social programs, that kind of thing, right? Or in this case, if you're a heinous enough, insane, grizzled crypto millionaire who lives on a yacht, you know, do you deserve prison abolition and rehabilitation?
There's a lot of muddiness around those conversations because you can say something like, I don't care what happens to John McAfee. And then people are like, do you want to gulag anyone who ever had a lemonade stand? And I'm like, I don't, what have you been smoking? It's not weed, I don't think.
No, I'm mostly just asking this facetiously. I think the entire argument is very stupid.
Here's my plan. We're gonna push John McAfee to the left.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna do. Yeah, he's gonna steal from the rich and give Bitcoin to the poor, and that's how we fund the revolution.
Speaking of pushing left, did you see that report came out that there are now three times as many kids in cages as there were under Trump?
I did see that.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't see
that. Yeah. Vote for Biden, champ, kiddo, because there's a fascist in the White House and there's kids in cages. Biden's going to release the kids in cages 2 weeks later. It's like, yeah, we're building not only are we building cages, we're building like VR cages so the kids that have been released can have to mandatorily log on to a virtual cage.
Well, I think what you're missing is that he pushed all the kids to the left side of the cage. So, you know, it's much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no winning here. I mean, it's just like, it's all continuation politics. This shit was going to happen no matter who was in the White House. You know, this is probably why we should have voted for John McAfee, because at least he doesn't pay his taxes. You know, mm-hmm. like Donald Trump is like, I can't show you my tax returns. John McAfee is like, I don't have them. They do not exist.
yeah, there's at least an outside chance that he like gambles away the budget of ICE on some crypto coin that's tied to like speed running, and then yeah. it crashes and he wastes all their money. And then, you know, they can't afford to keep anyone in a cage anymore.
Yeah, that's it for them. Curtains for ICE. Mm-hmm. Mismanagement. That's the real acceleration. This is that shit Nick Land was talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it would be very silly to like hitch your wagon to like the perfect scheme is to get John McAfee to destroy the system from the inside. Because the system's pretty resilient, unfortunately. If it could be destroyed from the inside, someone would have done it
there
already.
There should be more like in the service of just chaos, like heightening the contradictions, which I think John McAfee is definitely causing more heightening of contradictions than not. Right. In that sense, there should be a million little John McAfees running around.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there kind of are. Like everyone who's like, sure. Do you want to pay 50 Ethereum for like a screenshot of a tweet I wrote 2 years ago and someone's doing it? Like there's no way that's not money laundering, that someone 100%. Involved didn't like make Ethereum from selling child porn and then is using it to buy art that then they flip later.
Yeah, everybody is just gradually turning into Bender from Futurama, except not funny.
Well, speaking of going on a bender, I guess, Nevada Democrats are on one. I guess the entire Democratic Party of Nevada was basically voted out in favor of new, more progressive Sock Dem Democrats.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. and which all have ties to the DSA. But before this happened, the establishment Democrats running the party looted all of the party funds so that the progressive Democrats couldn't access them.
Right. I saw that. They like moved them all to like some other campaign thing that mm-hmm. they're going to spend on something else.
And they spent the entire run up to this talking about during the election about how these so-called progressive, like these aren't even communists, by the way, like these just like vaguely pink Democrats who they were complaining that they didn't want to work with the people who were in power. They were like, they don't want to come to the table. They don't want to negotiate. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. And then they get voted out and immediately they're just like, oh yeah, fuck any level of working with you on this. Like we were literally just trying to tell you to fuck off the entire time.
Just absolute yeah. Harry Reid backed fucking ghouls, yes. right? Out for yeah. marginally better Sock Dem, you know, DSA people. And the propaganda machine, all these local Nevada papers, probably owned by Sinclair Media or entities like them, are reporting on it like, oh, the most effective Democratic Party in Nevada's history just got ousted. What are we going to do? And it's like, Jesus Christ. I mean, that little of a difference in, you know, like a political shift and suddenly you're sounding the alarm bells. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing is like, you know, hopefully that the people who are in like this kind of organizing realize that, because this is like, I think sort of the stated goal of a lot of people in the DSA is like they should take over the Democratic Party because it already exists and anyone can join it. Anyone can call themselves a Democrat, make it a Democratic Socialist Party, vote in socialist policies. You know, it's like we on this podcast have long talked about like why that doesn't really work.
Yeah.
And I assume that this will be, you know, a lesson in that for a lot of these people. It's possible they'll make some kind of gains. You know, I don't want to just completely shit on it and say like they're not going to elect someone to a city council or a state house or whatever that makes life slightly better for people in Nevada. But like, I think they're also going to realize like how quickly the center comes at you when you try to do something like this.
Nevada was that, I think that was the same state that recently voted that corporations can just be their own state now and charge taxes and have their own municipalities. And, we can have a dumb leftier than thou pissing contest about the efficacy of the DSA, but if they can like slow down that then I guess it would be good.
Mm-hmm. You're telling me you don't want a bunch of unregulated Chuck E. Cheese McNuke factories all over rural Nevada? You know what?
You're right. That does sound kind of awesome because it would just be real life Fallout 3.
Yeah, but you don't get a cool
New Vegas,
suit
sorry.
And, like,
Fallout
fancy
New Vegas,
weapons.
Not 3.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fallout Nevada.
Yeah.
Well, I have never played
New Vegas
a Fallout
already
game.
Takes place in Nevada. That's the whole point. It's a New Vegas.
You're like trying to get to Las Vegas.
Wait a minute. New York and York are not in the same place. Why would New Vegas and Las Vegas be in the same place?
That's really a good question. I don't know if that tracks.
It doesn't make any goddamn sense. This is why I don't play video games.
Well, speaking of...
You play video games all the time.
Speaking of things that are completely fake, what do you all know about the DHS Fusion Center?
Oh, yeah. So we talked about Fusion Centers a while ago on the show, long enough that I don't really remember what the details were, but I think we talked about the one in Maine. Fusion Center is basically a thing where they came out after 9/11 happened. Like, the Department of Homeland Security set up these things that are supposed to be like an interaction between federal law enforcement and like terrorist investigation and local police. Like, basically just like a way to do like the same kind of shit that the government's doing on a national level, on the local level, like, you know, go spy on mosques and arrest people for made up crimes and
right.
shit like that.
And so these like little intelligence subcontracting organizations, like, they mostly just troll the internet, right?
Every time you you see a post and you're like, this can't be real. This is a fucking psyop. Every time there's like the most fucking glowy ass post you can imagine, it's this is what that is.
They have like examples in here, like people telling you that you can just like mix you can fill a water balloon up with like sugar, milk, and syrup and throw it at a windshield of a tank, and then that will like disable it. And it's like, yeah, I think that probably came from a government agent.
Yeah.
Or there's also these MAGA accounts that are like posting about, oh, these pallets of bricks showed up in neighborhoods that were about to have Black Lives Matter protest. # protest, # Wuhan flu, # George Floyd. And it's like the profile picture is, I don't know, a deep learning algorithm's idea of what a like 45-year-old blonde woman looks like. And it's like, okay, apart from the fact that like, how else would bricks show up like that? Like, who's fucking putting them there? It's mm-hmm. the government, or it's an arm of the government. And then another arm of the government is using that to propagandize to like wet brain right-wing people that there's some sort of like Soros conspiracy, which like there is a fucking Soros conspiracy, but it's not that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like the US government is just playing both sides.
Yeah.
Like they want to instigate, yes. And then they want to point at their own instigation and be like, look at these instigators.
That's
we
right.
have to fight against them, you know? And it's the shit that they teach you that like the Nazis did. And then we look at the United States doing it and we're like, I don't know who to believe.
yeah. I think what's funny also about this article is that there's someone, I forget his name, but he's a guy who's in like the main state house. And he basically was like, hey, wait a minute. This costs a bunch of money from the main budget, which is low because of COVID. And all they're doing is like sending police officers, obviously fake memes about throwing bricks at cop cars. Couldn't we use that money for something else? And it's like very, very funny that this is like the first time he was like, hey, wait a minute. The federal government isn't actually keeping people safe in my state. What's that all about?
That rules. Yeah. And like, you know, for years, it's become more and more obvious that the culture war is just fake and on purpose. And it's like, oh, wait, no. Not only is the all of this culture war squabbling that causes us intense amounts of psychic damage every day fake and pointless, it's also being done to us by our own government. I wonder fucking why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saturday Night Live is a wing of the CIA. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone who was like, they wanted to join the CIA and they were like, well, can you, do you speak any foreign languages? And you're like, no, I don't speak any foreign languages. Can you break any codes or, you know, any good in the field? And anyone who can't answer any of those questions, they're like, just be on SNL. Just do an impression of like a guy freaking out on coke or something.
Hey, yeah. we got a real talentless hack here. Like he is worthless. It's like, have him do Weekend Update.
He won't even cut it in the CIA.
Speaking of the CIA, President Lula da Silva of Brazil.
Hell yeah.
Somebody who got railroaded in a CIA US-backed coup.
Correct.
Out of the presidency of Brazil, succeeded by Jair Bolsonaro. Mm-hmm. Lula has been acquitted of all charges, which, you know, from the beginning were obviously trumped up. I mean, this article is in Portuguese, so I don't understand it whatsoever. Or no, it's, I guess it's in Spanish. What do they speak there?
I think they speak Portuguese in Brazil.
Okay.
Brazil?
I guess this is just like a general South American newspaper that I'm looking at. So it is in Spanish, but basically trumped up charges, ousted Lula, CIA backed. And what do you know? It turns out once the charges actually come up in like a real court, it's like, this is obviously bullshit. It's not like they're going to go back and kick Bolsonaro out. Now it's an uphill battle for Lula,
right?
Who like is, I would compare him to AMLO, in a lot of ways, Maduro, the next fucking Chairman Mao or whatever, but
he's not quite
genuinely good ass dude, right?
Definitely
for mm-hmm. indigenous people, for the working class of Brazil, and they did a coup on him, and you can't go back and reverse that. I mean, the insane damage that Bolsonaro and his party has done since this happened. It's like, what the fuck can you even do? I mean,
I was reading up on this a little bit, and there's definitely just a concerted effort across all of Latin America to stem what they called the pink tide. You know, it mm-hmm. was like a lot of figures who were inspired by, figures like Salvador Allende and Hugo Chavez, who wanted to continue to, you know, build up rights for the working people of their respective countries. And they just systematically went around and fucked everybody over. I mean, they've been trying to fuck with AMLO in Mexico pretty consistently. What they did to Evo Morales in Bolivia is unforgivable, and they're making his success, like, Evo can't even come back and run. He has to have his successor run now, Luis Arce. Who has to run in his stead. And the fact that they're giving this back to Lula in Brazil, I mean, like, at this point, Bolsonaro has had how much time to consolidate his power, mm-hmm. right? Like,
oh yeah.
So there is the movement towards socialism that's happening in Latin America is the absolute best bet for like something that mixes reformist and radical elements to possibly work.
Hell of
and
a like, lot better than whatever's ways, going on here with the DSA or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, in a lot of ways, I have to think with the looming climate change and the amount of hypercapitalization and complete digitization of the way that capitalism is working, the experiment in Latin America with their kind of socialism is like the last and best bet for something resembling progressive change. You know what I mean? Like something that isn't just a straight up like torches and pitchforks revolution. Like we just, you know, string up the ruling class.
Well, to what you're saying, John, we've talked a lot about Bolivia too, but it came out, let's see, it's the 10th today. We're recording this on March 10th. 2 days ago on March 8th, a article came out in Declassified UK that revealed that the UK supported the coup in Bolivia straight up for lithium. Mm-hmm. Not and we speculated this on this when it fucking happened, right? In 2019, we were from the beginning saying this exact thing. It's a coup for lithium. Now, concrete evidence that not only the UK based intelligence, the British Foreign Office, the CIA as well, and private cybersecurity firms were doing this shit. We're installing fucking Jeanine Añez and her fucking right-wing ghouls in Bolivia to funnel lithium and create back channels to the US, UK, all of the, and these private entities.
Yep, absolutely.
Concrete fucking
evidence.
It's
all 100%. Fucking financially and motivated.
The OAS. Sorry to cut you off, John. The OAS too. We talked about that when this first came up.
Well, and when you look at all the reporting on what's going on with Lula being eligible for his election again, people talk about the OAS. And a lot of these rags will like go to very great lengths to be like, well, you know, the standards that they use were called into question, but the OAS has repeatedly issued clarifications of their methodology and this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, they will go to any length to continue to lie to you and to tell you that the obviously proven lies that they already told were actually somehow true. And it's like, if you have a suspicion about something, like if a weird political thing happens in a country that you didn't know a lot about before, Myanmar, there's a really good chance that there's a lot of American interests happening, because like, look at these countries' proximity to socialist nations. Like there was a unifying project between like, what was it, Mexico, Venezuela, Cuba, Bolivia, and Brazil in the early 2010s that was supposed to continue to redouble on benefits for the working classes in those countries. And what do we get instead? We get systematic coup after coup in the countries that the U.S. intelligence community has access to.
Another thing to note, it is, I mean, we may have talked about it a little bit, but at the beginning of 2019, Evo Morales chose to partner with China in the lithium trade, like a multi-billion-dollar deal. It's completely obvious why this happened. Do I even have to say that one of the biggest priorities of the incoming right-wing Añez administration to fuck that up? It's like, I mean, they just do this. Because they have power, they'll just do it. And I don't know. I guess we'll just have to see how much people take, or they'll just keep doing it. I don't know. Mm.
I mean, it is weird that they would like let him off of the charges, like, because we know that we assumed they were manufactured from the beginning, but you would think they could find some way to be like, well, you're let out of prison, but you can't run for president again, or just like kill him in prison. But I sort of wonder if they're wanting to like move away from like actually martyring these leaders, and instead just sort of like getting them stuck in a mire of an endless like legal battle to prove that their elections are legitimate. And
They got their practice fucking over Bernie Sanders, they're just gonna do it to pink leaders across of the Americas, you know?
Yeah, it just seems like a thing you can sell in like the U.S. really well, is like, oh, but like, you know, this NGO said the election wasn't real, so they're actually a dictator. And then people accept that more than if like the person is gunned down and it's like, who murdered them?
Oh, yeah. Well, and like the other thing is that like a lot of these Latin American leaders, like Evo Morales, like you can kind of do this with Maduro in Venezuela. You can kind of play the strongman card. But like Morales and Lula are just grandpas. Like they are just likable old dudes. Like, nobody. Yeah, exactly. They're Bernies. They're Corbyns. Nobody's going to believe the strongman narrative with them. So they have to fuck them over in a different way.
I don't know. Apparently, Jeremy Corbyn strangled 37 Jewish babies. I don't know. I read that somewhere. Sure. It was a blind item.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's true.
Yeah, it was
true.
A blind item.
Yeah, he got advice on how to do it from the Unabomber.
That's right.
talking to Greta Thunberg.
Speaking of the CIA, and once again, China and Russia and how the lines are being drawn for the coming Cold War II electric boogaloo, an article came out of Newsweek is saying the quiet part out loud, that the CIA sees diversity as a weapon against changing threats from China and Russia.
Oh my God.
My third eye is fucking vibrating right now.
You know what would be a real interesting diversity move is if the CIA hired a bunch of communists, like on purpose. Like, you know what I mean? They were just like, let's call the communists in to the intelligence community, because their diversity will strengthen us against China.
Yeah, let's get some Chinese citizens in here, some Chinese members of the Communist Party, and see what they think, and then we'll come to a nice consensus.
Yeah, building diversity in the CIA by recruiting Chairman Xi.
Something that's interesting to note here is, I don't know if this is, they're going for the same angle here, but a lot of cases, big employers like Amazon, Google, will harp on diversity trainings, sensitivity trainings, instead of doing anything remotely related to like worker solidarity or specifically to distract from that. Like, it's a documented thing that you see it a lot when, a workplace will be like, oh, you know, unions, it's just a way to amplify cishet white male voices or whatever.
Yeah, and in the meantime, they don't have to follow through on any of the shit that they're telling you that they're doing. They can be like, well, we want to focus on diversity because we think our black and trans and bi POC and whatever, like CIA agents, really bring us a lot of tools that we didn't have in our kit to fight China before. But then they can still just staff the office with all white dudes and it doesn't break any laws and like nobody has to find them. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens. Like, it doesn't mean anything. They don't have to. They are lying. They're right, always
they're doing,
lying.
They're like, doing photo shoots. They're like doing like a magazine yes. photo spread of like the four woke diversity hires they made. And then meanwhile, yeah, the same 1,000 white guys are still in the back rooms doing whatever they do.
If you look at all the shit that they're like the people that they're parading as like their diversity employees, if you squint real hard, you can still see the Alamy stock photo caption in the bottom yeah. right-hand corner of the screen. Like,
well, I mean, I don't know.
Not that it would be good if the CIA did really start hiring up. Like, the CIA should just be abolished. Like, it wouldn't matter if it was queered or, like, mm-hmm. turned into a black capitalist organization. Like, whatever. Like, none of that is acceptable. It needs yeah. to be destroyed.
Hire John McAfee, and he will destroy it with bitcoins again.
Anytime there's something like this sus that I read, I have to think, what is the subtext here? What is the real motivation? What is the real goal? Mm-hmm. Right? What is the real goal for this? I mean, they it
to
can't
make the
just
CIA seem cool.
No, it can't just be to make the CIA look woke, right? Like,
I think it is. I mean, like, think about how much money they spent on Office Jim and like all of these other like weird action and like television stars to come to CIA headquarters and do like a BuzzFeed sure. style video shoot. They're like, they have a really serious PR campaign, and it's like, it's fucking disgusting. It's one of the grossest things in the world. Mm-hmm.
I mean, also, this is Newsweek. We're not exactly reading like Foreign yeah, Affairs yeah. magazine, like The Economist or true. Something. Not that those are even good or free of propaganda, but like, this is like people who were like, oh, along with my People magazine, I think I'll read a Newsweek and see what's going on in the world.
Right, right. But this is who they want to market the CIA to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, like, that's ooh.
For sure.
Yeah, the ultimate branding is when like the cover of People is like some actress marrying, you know, a woke diversity hire CIA guy. Like if George Clooney had married a CIA agent hot wife instead of like a human rights lawyer or whatever Amal Clooney does.
Hell yeah.
That's like the ultimate crossover, because then every normie is like, oh, the CIA is so cool. They have so many hot guys working for them.
Top 10 CIA diversity hires you won't believe are married to the stars of your favorite shows.
Well, yeah. On that note, and the angle of woke imperialism doing woke coups in Latin America for their lithium, setting up the fucking new fault lines for the second Cold War with China and Russia and Iran and North Korea. Sorry, not South Korea. We know what side they're on for the second Cold War. But mm-hmm. on that note, it's been Beep Beep, everybody. Bryn is working on one of her other projects. She'll be back soon.
We gave her the week off for International Women's Day. We thought it was only right.
What else do we say? I don't know. Whatever. You know.
Oh, yeah, get in the Discord. Support the Patreon if you have $5. If you don't, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Don't ever smoke weed that's stronger than 1% THC.
Yeah, if you want to find out how strong it is, mail an eighth to us and we'll smoke it for you and tell you.
All right.
Yeah, do all those things. Also watch us stream. You can watch John stream at twitch.tv/beepbeeplettucepod. You can watch me and Bryn stream on what is it? I think it's like left_trigger_ or something. You can watch us on Means TV.
Nice.
We're all over the place.
Yeah. Beep on, y'all.
Goodbye.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.